You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 95. So I got quite a bit of an episode for everybody this week, so I won't have too much of an introduction, but I'll have the usual theme, a bunch of news, mostly on Google I.O. related, an app review related to something I talked about last week, and then the usual entertainment segment with a film review, and rather than a trailer review, or a Star Wars review, I'll be having a trailer review. So with that, I'll jump right into it. So to start it off with this week's theme is augmented product. So this is a product that has physical attributes along with non-physical attributes to increase its value. These non-physical attributes are things like warranties, services, and things that are otherwise not necessarily part of the product itself, but increase its overall value or potential value to customers. It relies on the customer's perception of the value being added, and that value adding a feature to that physical product itself. So what can that product do when it's similar to other products, but provides something that's different? So something along those lines of buying an iPhone versus an Android product. Some devices or iPhones do certain things better than Android. Android does certain things better than iPhone. So where does the consumer or buyer place more value and otherwise get more value out of the product itself? And then will help further their decision in buying that product. So when they do spend that money, where they get the most value for that product. And then eventually this leads to the marketing of the product itself as well. So when it's a smartphone, battery life, camera, other services that are added to that phone or screen resolution or whatever things can promote that product. For a car, things like gas mileage, what stereo or sound system is available, safety feature like airbags and braking and things like that. So what features and value added stuff can be made to augment the value and quality of that product? So with that being said, I'll jump into this week's tech news. So to start it off, Google has announced a project or a program called Project Treble. This adds an extra layer between the Android OS and the vendor implementation layer to more easily and quickly update Android. So this is going to be just my overview amateur look at it, but it looks like it's going to add a layer that kind of separates that manufacturer layer or skin on top of the Android OS. So the core components stay the same, and then Google can update those regularly, and then the manufacturer just has to update their layer. So it looks like it aims to provide more features and security updates and those kinds of things more easily and readily, so that consumers stay protected and Google can roll out its new features as it needs to and doesn't have to rely on the manufacturers to bundle it in. Audi and Volvo have announced that they'll be adding Android Auto to their next generation of cars. So from what I understand, the 2018 models will start getting Android Auto. In related news, Ford has announced that they're going to start upgrading some of their cars that have Ford Sync and upgrading those devices to Android Auto as well. So it can be done, I think, in three ways. Two come to mind is by USB on your own, by downloading the software and doing an update, or going to the dealer and doing that update. I say three because I read three and I forgot what the third one is offhand. In other news, though, Google Assistant is getting a couple of interesting updates, notably that it's going to be able to make hands-free calls, have Bluetooth support, and have visual responses on your TV via Chromecast. And in other news, as far as Google Assistant goes, it will now also be available on iOS version 9.1 and above. So more users can use Google Assistant. And then as part of an update, it will also have the ability to type answers. So rather than being voice only, you can voice or type your questions to Google Assistant. Gmail for Android and iOS is getting an update to integrate Smart Reply. So if you want Gmail to learn how you reply and have those automated replies ready, then that will be coming soon. Google Photos is getting updated to now have, or to soon get Google Lens to better detect people, buildings, and other objects and images. So it'll better be able to remove objects and also be able to extract things like phone numbers and email addresses and other contextual data. So you can, for example, point your phone at a building that may have a picture or a phone number, and it'll be able to extract that phone number for you to directly call, so you don't have to type it in manually. Android O got a couple of updated bits of information and will be coming later in 2017, but will improve picture-in-picture support, have better smart text selection to improve copy and paste throughout your device between apps and other areas as well. And then it'll also have improved startup and app loading, so performance should be better. Google also announced that Android Go will be coming in 2018. This is going to make it so that Android runs better on lower-end devices, and basically on devices with 1 gigabyte of RAM or less. And then Google's various apps and services will also be optimized to run more smoothly on lower-end devices. In other Google Photos news, though, Google Photo Books was announced to allow you to create physical photo galleries based on your images from Google Photos. You'll have one of two options. It'll be $9.99 for a 20-page softcover, or $19.99 for a 20-page hardcover. This update will be coming to Android and iOS very soon. And then what was announced at Google I/O last year is Android Instant Apps, which lets developers add a code to allow users to launch an app instantly without having to install it to see if it's something they'll like, and then install it after the fact as well. So that is now available for all developers to integrate and roll out to their app, so you can preview an app before you actually install it. And finally, Google Payments will be coming to Assistant and have more loyalty programs. So the implication here is that you'll be able to basically just say, send $20 to Joe, and it'll be able to handle that automatically as long as you have Google Payments, some sort of Google Payments installed along with a default credit card. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's app review. And it's an app that I talked about last week called Anchor.fm, where I release a new channel. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about the app itself. So let's say you wanted to get your news or entertainment or various other content in a quick and easy format where you don't have to spend too much time listening to it. Let's say you're on the go and you don't really have time to listen to full-fledged commentary or talks or anything like that, that's where Anchor.fm really shines. So it lets producers create content at 5 minutes or less, so it's quick, concise, and whatever you can fit in 5 minutes can be released. There's a bunch of different categories, so music, entertainment, business, and finance, and things like that, so there's all sorts of shows going on all over the place. On the flip side, you can also create your own content. So let's say you're like me and you have a podcast and you want to create content that's a quick update and summary of what's going on, what's new, and things like that, but you don't necessarily want to go through the process of creating an audio file, making sure it's in a proper format, uploading it, adding it to an RSS feed, creating a post, and all of that. Then with Anchor, all you have to do is essentially hit the record button, record whatever you want to say, and if still 5 minutes or less. When you're done, you can create a caption, so whatever topic it's about, and that is it, and you're done. That's basically the bulk of the app. From here, you have a variety of different bells and whistles, so things like adding calls so people who use the app can leave a message for your show, which you can also integrate into other episodes. You can add sound effects and background audio. Background audio is provided by Spotify, so that can be added before you actually post a track to your feed. So it has other things like that. And then you can also export the audio as well. It comes out in M4A format, so you may have to convert it if you want to put it on your own feed. But let's say you have that Anchor or the audio on Anchor and you also want to release it, let's say, to your Patreon subscribers, or you want to put it on your feed as a delayed post, then you can still export whatever you release and create a regular podcast out of it or share it via other means. And then in the app itself, you can also share your episodes or your show itself to social media. So at least on the Android site, you can select share segment and then share it to Facebook, Twitter, via email, WhatsApp, or anything like that. So if you want to do an email blast or share it publicly to let people know that you have a new episode out, then you can do that as well. So Anchor is available on the web for Android and iOS, as well as for Google Home and Amazon Alexa. So it's definitely worth checking out. It's a pretty nifty app, easy to use. Once you sign in, they give you the step-by-step tutorial, so it isn't too hard to learn how to use. And I definitely recommend it. So I will say on the upcoming episode I am going to be releasing, I'll be talking a little bit more about the Linkin Park album that just released. I think it's called One More Try, One More Time, something like that. I will get the name properly right now, but One More Light. So it just came released on May 19th. I've only had a chance to listen to it once, but I'll probably listen to it maybe once or twice more and give a proper review of what I think of it. So that's all there is for that. So you can find out more about the app at anchor.fm. That's anchor.fm. Or search for it in the iOS App Store or Google Play. So with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's entertainment segment. So to start it off with some news, YouTube TV got some new channels, notably AMC, BBC America, IFC, Sundance, WE, Telemundo, and Universo. So same price, but with more channels. For me, it's a notable addition because now that AMC is there, shows like Into the Badlands, The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, Preacher, and those shows can now be watched for the same price. So definitely worth checking out, and I don't know if any of those channels are that deal maker for you, but for me, it just became that much better. So there's really only one channel left, and that's, of course, Comedy Central, but it is, to me, it's still worth $35, so definitely worth checking out. In a blog post earlier in the week, George R. R. Martin confirmed that 5 prequel TV shows in the Game of Thrones universe are coming soon, so look out for that. They're currently set in time in periods before the current Game of Thrones show, so what we're seeing in the show is kind of like present, and then we're going to go to a time before that, so we'll see what kind of shows they come out with, but some shows are in the works there. Fox released a new trailer this week for a new mutant series called The Gifted. This one is a little bit more notable because they do mention, I think, some of the X-Men's character names, so I think it's more closely related to the series as far as mutants go. And finally, Star Wars Jedi of the Republic, Mace Windu is going to get a comic in the Star Wars universe during the time right after the Clone Wars starts. It's going to be a 5-issue miniseries to release in August of 2017. So if you're a Star Wars fan, comic book fan, or a Mace Windu fan, look out for that comic coming soon. As far as what I watched, it's the usual stuff. So American Gods Season 1, Episode 3, Head Full of Snow. I'm still continuing to read the book. I've actually caught up to where the show is, and I've gotten a little bit ahead. I'm going to try and read a little bit more this weekend before the next episode. But in any case, I'm kind of on par with where the show is at. So it's keeping me going as far as pacing goes, so I know kind of where I'm at and I'm able to read it and also get a visual representation. I also had a chance to watch Into the Badlands Season 2, Episode 9, Nightingale Sings No More. The next episode, though, is going to be the Season 2 finale, so look out for that. And if you, of course, if you now have YouTube TV, you'll be able to watch it there. I also had a chance to watch Gotham Season 3, Episode 18, Light the Wick. So we get more of Bruce Wayne's training in the mysterious castle place with the guy, and more interactions as far as the Court of Owls goes. I also had a chance to watch Better Call Saul Season 3, Episode 6, Off-Brand, and I will give a quick spoiler alert, but overall the episode was good. We get to see a brand new commercial by Jimmy, and it is the first time we have him say or use the name Saul Goodman, not in the way we know how, but in a way to promote, or in him promoting a commercial about creating commercials, so pretty interesting and pretty funny use of the star wipes. So overall, a good episode to watch. And finally, I had a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 2, Worlds End. So we get the season 4 finale here. And what I was reading as possible tie-ins with the Avengers Infinity War. So with that being said, I'll jump into this week's film review. And I had a chance to rewatch The Shining. So this was mostly related to a Filmsack episode. Not the last one, but I think the one before that where they reviewed it. And since I hadn't watched it in a while, and I actually got to thinking about that, I haven't seen the movie about The Shining called Room 37. So before I did that, I wanted to rewatch the movie, and in that case, I would create a review for the show. So the movie itself released in the United States on June 30th, 1980. It has a runtime of 144 minutes. A summary of the movie is that a family heads to an isolated hotel for the winter where an evil and spiritual presence influences the father into violence while his psychic son sees horrific forebodings from the past and of the future. The movie itself has an IMDb rating of 84%, so generally well rated. For me, I have a generally good perception of the movie. I enjoyed it. It was probably the first horror movie that I remember seeing. I'm not sure what I may have seen before that or after. Well, probably not after that, but I don't remember what I may have seen before that, or I don't remember seeing anything, or this is the first one that actually stands out. But overall, it still holds up. I would probably give it that 85 to 90% rating of pretty good. The only thing for me is that it wasn't as scary as I remember it being. So maybe by 1980 standards, it was scary, but by current standards, not as much as it was. But I still enjoyed it as much as I thought I would. So with that being said, I'll jump right into the review of the movie. So The Shining is basically just a localized version of telepathy. So it seemed like The Shining was basically something that gives the user or whoever has that ability, as long as they're thinking about the hotel, then it gives them some sort of warning or something like that. But otherwise, there's not much else there. And of course, without prior training, you have the trouble that Danny has where he's unable to control it, and he's afraid of his various dreams and nightmares. Next up, though, as far as living in the hotel during the winter, if it gets too lonely for a few people, why not have more than just a few people stay in the hotel? Unless they're afraid that everyone goes crazy and they end up killing themselves or attacking each other. But it just seemed weird that maybe the part of it that's weird is that the screening process is a lot easier than I would expect it to be. So if that's the case, then why not go through a bigger screening process, or why not have someone who's more susceptible, or even someone who stayed there for a little while beforehand to get used to the place. Otherwise, why aren't there more maps in the hotel, or are there signposts telling guests which way to go? So with all the moving around that the family does in the hotel, it would seem like there would be more signposts that they show, or more ways to get through the hotel with directions showing what is going in which way. So whether it's the living quarters or the kitchen or the main lobby or anything like that, why not have more signs going on? If nobody is in the hotel, why are all the lights still on? So towards the end of the movie, when we have the major scene with Jack Nicholson and the family, I was realizing that as Jack Nicholson is going through the hotel, basically all the lights are on, or most of the lights are on, not necessarily all of them, but it kind of bothered me, like, because it looked like all of the lights were on. So if that's the case, then who's turning them on, or why don't they keep them? And I know they talked about the generator probably in the first start of the movie, but it seemed like there was a lot of energy being used unnecessarily to keep the generator going from having it freeze over. So that's kind of weird. Rounding out the movie, though, by the time the movie was over, I figured that basically the entire family sees events at different points. So Danny, the son, sees things before they happen. The mom sees things after they happen, but basically things in the past. And the dad sees things that are happening regardless of when they happen. So that was the thing that kind of bothered me, that it didn't make sense, because we do see Jack Nicholson's picture Jack Nicholson in the picture at the end of the movie. So it seemed like he was, or that explains why the bartender said, or the bathroom bellhop guy said, that Jack Nicholson has always been the caretaker. So is, does Jack Nicholson reincarnate throughout the years, or is this a reincarnation of him, or is this happening sometime in the past? So maybe this is one of those things where they're telling us something about the original family that lived in the hotel, and or they're a new family and they've come back in time. It's kind of weird towards the end as far as reconciling all those different aspects in the movie. But we do see those point of views where Shelley Duvall's character as the mother sees all the different skeletons sitting in all the chairs, and Danny has that sense of foreboding, so he kind of knows he's always kind of known what is going on. So overall, a good movie. It was rather long, but they do have a lot of establishing shots, so it does create that sense of unease and having that extra layer of things going on in that background that we don't really know about, but happening nonetheless. So overall, it's worth watching. So I do recommend watching it if you've never seen it, or it's worth a good rewatch in case you haven't seen it in a long time. So with that, I'll probably get it when I get a chance. I'll rent Room 237 and learn all about that, and or watch that movie and see what additional information they provide about the movie. So with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's trailer review. So I had a chance to watch the trailer that was released for Star Trek Discovery. It was a first look, so it does show a little bit of the dialogue with Michelle Yeoh as a captain. And I'm going to say her name wrong probably, but Sinequa Martin-Green, who plays Sasha in The Walking Dead. I think from what it looks like, it looks like she's playing a first officer, maybe a science officer, but what we learned from the trailer is that the show is going to take place 10 years before the events of Star Trek, the original series. They already have a team that consists of what looks like humans and Vulcans and at least one other race, so it's probably the early creation of the United Federation of Planets, so we'll see that, and then we're probably going to get the start or the original conflict with the Klingons and how that those initial interactions take place, so there's that in the trailer. And then lastly, we have working teleportation, so we'll see that, or at least they show teleportation working, so we'll see if they show times where it doesn't happen, or it breaking down, or how finicky it is, I don't know, or at least give some backup to why Bones doesn't like teleportation. So overall, not really too much in the trailer, but enough information to get a couple of things that are going on. We'll see. Hard to say kind of where they'll build everything from the trailer into the show, but so far it looks good. I kind of like where they're going with it, and we'll see more about it. But the trailer itself is on YouTube, and I'll have a link in the show notes to the trailer as well. But that is all for this particular episode of Life of an Accounting Droid. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at patelin01. All subscription links, social media links, past episodes, and all that good stuff can be found on the website at patelin01.com. And of course, you can get the Accounting Droid updates on Anchor or look up Accounting Droid on Anchor, or there's a link in the show notes as well, or the link can be found on the website as well. And of course, if you like this show or any show on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.net to get a current listing of all our shows and subscription links and all of that good stuff. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.